So how did you wind up moving from just practicing law for MetLife to a more managerial role?
I started doing diversification work at MetLife. I worked on the plan to diversify into property and casualty. I shepherded it through the insurance department to set up subsidiaries. I was involved in the creation of Met Property and Casualty. I was involved in the creation of Met Reinsurance Company. In fact, they called me the godfather of that. I set up a couple of life insurance subsidiaries, Metropolitan Insurance and Annuity Company, for example, to be able to write certain lines of business that were in a tax-favored environment as opposed to the mutual life insurance company. I set up our holding companies, One Madison Avenue Corporation and Met Tower Corporation. And I thought outside the box, I guess. And Cleveland gave me as much room as I wanted. I looked at other diversification opportunities as a lawyer. And when there came a time when they were setting up a long-range strategic planning department, and I was one of the guys that was selected to go into that department, and went on to do studies of health maintenance organizations and various other diversification steps. And one thing led to the other, and one day one of my ideas was to create an account, essentially a cash management account, that we could give beneficiaries. MetLife was paying out billions, literally billions of dollars each year in death benefits. And paying them out and giving a check to the beneficiaries and kissing goodbye to the relationship. And I noticed in some of the studies I had done that years earlier, the insurance companies used to provide something called settlement options, where the insured would elect that in the event of his death, the insurance company should hold on to the money and pay the death benefit out to the beneficiary over a period of 5 or 10 years, or hold it in interest for a while. And that business had totally fallen off. So the settlement option business was like the least well-performing business in MetLife. It had declined. It was
why?
Because insureds, agents, when they weren't suggesting it, because agents derive no benefit, to suggest that the money be held by the insurance company and doled out over a period of time. The class of insureds was perhaps more intelligent and felt that the beneficiaries could handle the money directly, and why put any strings on it? And I looked at this and I said, this is crazy. What are we trying to do to retain some of this money? Because it's very expensive to bring money in the front door in an insurance company. You're paying very large commissions and sales expenses and managerial overrides. And it turned out we were paying out in death benefits nearly exactly the same amount of money as we were bringing in the front door in terms of new first-year premium. And now, of course, there are differences. One was group and death benefits were largely being paid out on group insurance and group life insurance, whereas the new money coming in the front door was individual policies that involved these tremendous costs. But what have we tried to do to keep the money in Met? And I heard various stories over the years. They used to send out the salesman with the check, and the salesman would try to convince the new beneficiary that the money ought to be left with the company. And the typical beneficiary was a woman in her 50s and 60s. And the typical salesperson was a kid in his 20s, maybe 30s. So there was a mismatch. There was no incentive to the salesperson to having the money left. For the salesperson had in his portfolio only life insurance and annuities. And few recent beneficiaries are in a position to make a decision. They don't know what their needs are. They're emotionally shell-shocked. So how could they possibly make a decision to make a long-term financial decision? So why don't we come up with a short-term financial decision? Nobody, we don't have it. we don't have a product. At that time, Met did not have any money market mutual funds. It did not own a bank. It didn't have any way to hold on to the money short term other than a very cumbersome leave the money on deposit and earn whatever the rate Met declares from year to year. Met could declare the rate. It didn't have to be competitive. It didn't have to be anything. Met declared the rate. Well, this kind of concept may have been okay in the 1910s and 1920s and 1930s. It made no sense in the 1970s and 1980s. So what I did is I ran a bunch of focus groups around the country, talked to beneficiaries, and came up with a solution of offering people essentially an internal money market option that we would guarantee the interest rates would be equal to or higher than the bank rate monitor index. They could elect to leave it in, they could manage the money. They could get a checkbook with the death benefit would come with a checkbook. They could write out a check for the entire amount, and we'd pay them interest from the date the check would have been cut to the date the check cleared. So it was a win-win-win. The insurance company won because some people would leave the money with us. The beneficiary won because the beneficiary would earn interest rate above that which the local bank was paying. The company would win because we would make a nice spread on that money. And that spread would be 100, 200, 300 basis points, depending on what the prevailing interest rates were, and everybody has a good deal. And
so the money stays in whatever the money
stays. It stays in the general account of MetLife. It's fully guaranteed by Met. It's a full faith and credit of Met obligation, and everybody wins. And that turned into a very major success. I mean, Met, when I last looked, was holding about $10 billion of money, and the concept was then copied by most other insurance companies. But like the gang couldn't shoot straight, most companies couldn't even copy it straight. So that sort of, and I had offered, I was the sponsor of it, I argued it before the corporate management office. I said, take me off salary, give me 10% of the profits. That's how convinced I was that this had to work, and I tested it before all sorts of groups, and the beneficiaries liked it, the funeral home directors liked it, the insurance agents liked it, everybody seemed to like it, and it turned into a very significant success. And all of a sudden I was a businessman as opposed to just another insurance lawyer.